Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
That music only means one thing. Joe Wiz is joining us now here on 98.7 ESPN. He has got his own gambling show you can listen to every Saturday morning. So make sure you do that. Joe, we just had Dan Torgman on from America's Best Race, and he kind of gave us some insight on some of quite a few of the 20 horses that will be galloping their way to the finish line close to 7 o'clock this evening in the Kentucky Derby. Is there a horse out here that you really fancy heading into this race?
Well, Anita, it is. Thanks for having me on, number one. It is the most exciting 2 minutes in any sport. I mean, it's absolutely, I love the adrenaline rush for the Kentucky Derby. And, Dan had mentioned that there's a lot of speed in this early part of the day at Churchill. Weather was supposed to be a factor. So far, so good. I'm doing a try box here. I'm throwing in a couple of chalks and throwing in a couple of bombs. But I like the 2-horse with Sierra Leone. I like the 4-horse with Catching Freedom, with Flavian Pratt, who's been riding really well at Churchill. Anna Marie, the 7-horse, and then the 17 is Fierceness. And I know what Dan had said, that there's a lot of speed over at Churchill right now. I'm expecting a closer to win the race. You know, Anita, none of these horses, all of these 20 horses that are in the Derby, none of them have ever run a mile and a quarter. Okay, and there's a lot of speed in this race here. Number 12 horse with Joel Rosario, who's a great rider. I'm expecting him to take the lead, but he's going to fade quickly because that's basically what he does in all of his races. And then I'm expecting a fast pace. The track is fast, but I don't think it's going to hold up. I mean, I think a lot of these horses that never ran a mile and a quarter, when they come around that turn, they're not going to have nothing left. And my pick to win the 150th edition of the Kentucky Derby, I'm going with a stone cold close, and that's Sierra Leone. And you getting some decent value at 3-1 with Tyler Gaffleone and Chad Brown. Chad Brown has never won the Kentucky Derby. He's one of the top trainers in the country. And Gaffleone is a very good jockey. So my pick is the 2-horse, and I'm doing a tri-box 2, 4, 7, and the 17.
There you go. Let's turn our attention to what's going on in the NBA. And today you've got the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. Their series kicking off in Denver. Denver favored by 4.5. The over-under is 208.5. My play here is I like the Timberwolves money line in the first half. I think they're more rested. Also, the Denver Nuggets, their starters had to play a lot of minutes. Murray is dealing with some issues. I have the Nuggets winning, but I like the T-Wolves to come out to an early lead and a strong start. I like the way that they prepared for the Suns. What say you? How are you playing this?
Interesting bet that you're making the T-Wolves in the first half. I'm looking at the line here at 4.5. I'm taking the Timberwolves. I bought the half point, Anita. As you know, I always buy those half points. I'm taking the Timberwolves plus the 5 here. They finally got Karl Anthony Towns, who's been out most of the season, but he had a great game in the closing game on Sunday. Well-rested, the key to this series and the game is going to be Anthony Edwards. If he plays the way he did against the Phoenix Suns, I mean, this Timberwolves team could potentially upset the Denver Nuggets in this round of the playoffs. I mean, Denver, yeah, Murray, we don't know what we're going to expect from him. He had some problems, but we do know that he had 2 game-winning shots against the Lakers. But Denver did not look that impressive against the Lakers. Lakers actually held their own against them, even though Denver won in 5. Lakers were right there, and they lost, as I mentioned, 2 games right at the buzzer. So my play in this game here for game 1 tonight, I'm taking Minnesota plus the 5 against Denver, and I think, I'm taking the 5. I wouldn't shock me if they won the game as well.
Let's look big picture in regard to the Knicks, and that series against the Pacers kicks off at the Garden on Monday night. That's going to be a lot of fun. Let's start big picture, and then we'll talk game 1. You can wager futures bets what you think the conference finals are going to be. So, for example, in the East, I like Boston and the Knicks. Now, it's minus 180. I bet it before the playoffs even began, and I got it, I want to say it like 10 to 1 or 12 to 1, the fact that it's minus 180 right now. So what you're saying is that Boston and the Knicks are going to win their next series and advance to the Eastern Conference Championship. Boston and the Pacers are plus 210. What, I mean, outside of value, you know, who do you think advances from this Knicks-Pacers series?
I think this series is going to be a lot more difficult than a lot of people think. I mean, you know, the Knicks, you know, they took care of the Sixers. They proved they could win on the road. But the Pacers have several players that can score. They're better than the Sixers are. And, you know, they got Siakam, they got Halliburton, they got Nembhard, and, you know, they got former Nick who's coming off the bench, Obi Toppin, who had 21 points in the closing game against the Milwaukee Bucks. I know Milwaukee was depleted, as far as the series is concerned here, I'm expecting this one to go seven games, and it's going to be decided game seven, and I'm expecting the Knicks to advance against the Celtics, but the Pacers have more firepower than the Knicks do. And I know Jalen Brunson is on another planet, and you know I'm glad for him, and I'm rooting for the Knicks. But I'm a little bit concerned about this Pacers team. They have a lot of good scorers, very balanced team here. There's three or four guys that can score. If one guy isn't playing well, you know, the next guy can. And you know, when they played this year, you know, OJ was not in a lineup for any of the games, so you really can't say anything about him as far as how the teams are going to play each other here. But I do know that they've been a high scoring teams in Pacers overall for the season, one of the highest scoring teams in the NBA. So I'm expecting the you know, exciting games, but and as a matter of fact, I'm taking the Pacers, Anita, in game one. I'm taking the Pacers +6.
I was just going to say that game one, the Knicks are favored by 6. The over-under is 216.5. You said you're taking the Pacers with the points. Do you think
I think the Knicks, yes.
Do you think they went outright?
You know, I wouldn't go that far, but I think it's going to be a close game. That's why I'm taking the 6. So I'd rather take the 6 points, pushing it, asking the Pacers to win the game one. I mean, Knicks, I mean, they're going to be somewhat rested after that thrilling win on Thursday against the Sixers. But the Pacers are healthy right now. They haven't been healthy all season long. They've always had injuries. But I just think we have a live dog getting 6 points. I could see the Knicks winning by 1 or 2 points and going right down to the wire.
Again, Joe is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's turn our attention to what's going on in Major League Baseball, in the Mets in action a little bit later on this afternoon against the Rays. I've got a play here. It's a prop bet. I know you love my prop bet, so I'm going to hold off and share that after you give us your play in this matchup. Mets, Tampa Bay Rays, run line, money line, what do you like here?
Yeah, and that's interesting because a lot of people out there that are listening to the show, Anita, I know you do a tremendous job on educating people with baseball. You know, you can do the money line and you can do the run line. I generally like to do the money line. I don't mess around much with the run line because baseball is one of the unique sports where you just have to win the game, unlike football and basketball, where there's always a spread involved unless you do the money line bet. Here, this line's just about at a pick 'em here, and I'm kind of curious to see how, you know, the Christian Scott goes for the Mets. He's their fifth overall prospect in the fifth round. They drafted him in 2021, and he's been lights out in AAA Syracuse, 3-0 with a 3.20 ERA. Throws a lot of strikeouts, 36 strikeouts. Only concern is that he does give up a lot of home runs. He's given up 7 home runs in 25 innings. But the Rays, they're not the same team that they were in previous years. They've struggled a little bit. I know the Rays won yesterday, but last week against the White Sox, the Rays got swept by the White Sox, who are the worst team in baseball. They got Zach Littell pitching, and he's lost back-to-back games here. I'm going to take a shot with the Mets here. I think, you know, I think Christian Scott's going to be pumped up here, I know the expectations are very high for him, and I'm more or less going against Zach Littell, who hasn't been pitching that well. He's 1-2 with a 3.27 ERA, and he's lost back-to-back games here, and I think the Mets bats were responsive yesterday, and if they hit the way they did yesterday, I think they can get the win here for the rookie Christian Scott.
Well, you talk about Christian Scott, 36 strikeouts in 25 innings pitched in AAA.
Yeah.
He's only given up 12 hits, only 6 walks. And by the way, the Rays, the fourth worst strikeout rate in Major League Baseball at 27.5%. His over-under in Ks, 4.5. You know where I'm going.
I love it. I agree. And because I mentioned, 36 strikeouts, I think that, especially a team that, Tampa's never, no one's ever seen him pitch at the pro level. So sometimes the pitcher will have the advantage because they got to get used to seeing what his kids are going to be throwing. 4.5, I like that wager.
Yeah, so over 4.5 strikeouts for Christian Scott today in this Mets game. First pitch is at 7:00, so get on it. I think this could be a sneaky good wager, considering all this guy does is strike dudes out. Any final thoughts before we let you go, Joe?
Yeah, well, tomorrow, big game at the Garden with the Rangers, right? Anita, the Rangers are not getting any love.
I forgot. I'm sorry. My bad. That's right. Well, really quick.
They're not getting any love. I mean, what's going on here, Anita? Carolina, the favorites to win the cup at plus 400. The Rangers are the fifth choice at plus 625. And the Carolina's favorite in the series, like almost minus 160, even though the Rangers won the President's Trophy and they got home ice advantage. And the ice is important. I like the Rangers to win tomorrow, and I like the Rangers, a live dog in the series. Yeah, I picked the Rangers to win the cup back in October. I got them at plus 1600. So I'm all in on the blue.
You've got the Toronto Maple Leafs going up against the Boston Bruins later on tonight at 8:10 is when the puck drops. And again, the Canes and the Rangers playing tomorrow at 4:00. I know we've been playing a promo with Don LaGreca saying that it's tonight. So that is a mistake, and we sincerely apologize here on 98.7 ESPN. We all know that it is tomorrow at 4:10. And of course, you can get the Rangers on the money line at minus 105, the Hurricanes at minus 115. All right, Joe, thank you so much. Really do appreciate your time as always. Good luck this weekend and enjoy the Derby, my friend.
Down the stretch they come. Talk to you next week, Anita.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Easily the most anticipating sporting event of the year. Oh, who writes this? The pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Amani and Anita. Or should we say Marks and Toomer? Or Toomer and Marks? tomorrow at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Again, make sure you come out. Weather conditions are not going to be nice tomorrow. Why are you going to sit home in the rain and watch Netflix? Although there are a lot of really good programs on right now, I'm not going to lie. But what better to come out and watch Amani and I kick Rick and Dave's behind? It's a must. Can't miss. Pre-game coverage kicks off on New York ESPN Radio right here at 9 a.m. Actually, 8 a.m. with our golf show, 9 a.m. Live broadcast hosted by me. I'm going to be right there at Pickleball America. So hopefully while I'm doing the show, I won't get like hit in the face with any like random fly pickleballs. then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there tomorrow to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America, again in Stamford, Connecticut. Make sure you guys come out. And it's Cinco de Mayo. It's going to be so much fun. Let's go to your phone lines. Let's go to Brian in Manhattan. Brian, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. It's been just such a wondrous Knicks season. And, you know, as confident as I am in knowing that they'll always play hard, they don't always play smart, and that Philly series, to me, if you watched all the games, you saw that the Knicks were at their best when they move the ball on offense. And as much as Jalen has had an amazing year, I really feel like he needs to remember that if he tries to do things by himself too much, the team suffers. And you sort of saw that at the end of game five, the game they lost. He just tried to do too much. I don't blame him. It's just that, you know, if there's four guys standing aside and everyone knows Jalen's going to do something with it, it's just not good offense. And then if and when the guys might get the ball late, they're just not ready. So I love it when they play as a unit, as a 7 or 8 man unit. And lastly, I don't know what Tibbs has against Precious. He played an amazing game 4, and then Tibbs buried him for 5 and 6. I really don't understand that, especially when we're so shorthanded.
Brian, I don't have an answer for you. You know, sometimes some players get in a doghouse and Tibbs doesn't play them. And I'm not saying that that's what happened. I don't know. But Tibbs has his favorites and we all know that, right? No surprise there. By the way, again, it is 2:21. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about the Knicks. We've spent a lot of time talking about this pickleball match and the Kentucky Derby. Let's find out what else is trending. It's a segment we like to call Click or Don't Click, and our producers lead the way. And of course, that's Harvey and Joe this afternoon. Gentlemen?
Well, we'll start local. Gerrit Cole is in the news again. So, Gerrit Cole throws off a mound for the first time since leaving a bullpen session in spring training with discomfort. Click or don't click?
Oh, I'm clicking that. Absolutely.
So like I said, just another checkpoint on Cole's road back to recovery. He was shut down in mid-March. He said it was exciting. And the good thing for me is I was fired up. So hopefully he will return sooner rather than later from his UCL injury that we thought was initially going to lead to Tommy John surgery, and it looks like it's going to hold up and he could be back sooner rather than later.
Two questions for you. Number one, are you surprised that the Yankees have played as well as they have without him in the rotation? Number one. And number two, considering that he decided not to have the surgery, how confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident, that he'll be able to play throughout and not derail the season?
One, I'm extremely surprised how they, especially this pitching, I still have some concerns with the rotation and the lack of depth that they've been able to give the bullpen. Second question, I'm not as concerned because the Yankees have had somebody, Masahiro Tanaka, who's pitched through a similar injury. His UCL was completely torn and he pitched through it. So hopefully Cole, with how well he knows his body and how well he has been, he's a tactician in every sense of the word, so hopefully he can pitch through this and be the bona fide ace. I'm not saying, you know, come back and be Cy Young caliber, but if he could be the guy that he was in 2020 and 2021, I'm thrilled.
Okay. What else you guys got?
So there's a bit of a local angle for this one as well, and I thank the good Lord for Joe Shane that he did this. The Chiefs have declined the fifth-year option on wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Click or don't click?
I'm clicking it just because his whole story baffles me. So I am clicking, and then we can discuss it. Go ahead. What are they saying?
So they said that they never stopped believing in him, but the fact of the matter is he's had an injury bug. He hasn't been, you know, staying on the field. He hasn't been healthy all that often. And plus, the Chiefs acquired Marquise Brown in free agency, and they also drafted Xavier Worthy in the first round, so there's not much room for him. By the way, he was also part of the Zach Wilson draft class, and he also had his fifth-year option declined, so it's not looking good for that draft class as a whole.
So, you know, obviously, when the Giants drafted him, some hefty expectations there. I mean, you know, hearing that, you know, that he, like, his potential could have been even better than Odell Beckham Jr.'s, right? And as we know, it didn't work out, whether he didn't wasn't wearing the right shoes, couldn't get on the field, couldn't stay healthy, just all the things. And then, of course, going to the Kansas City Chiefs. And do you guys remember when the trade first happened, Travis Kelce went on record saying, why did the Giants let this guy out the door? Like, you know, we've never really seen his true potential in a game. But the players have at practice. It's really a shame because I hear such unbelievable things about this young man, but for whatever reason, he can't get on the field, stay on the field, stay with a team, make a coach happy, make a general manager happy. There's just so many other things that derail his success. And it's a real shame because his talent is really special.
I'll never forget our very own Bart Scott, when the trade happened, said that Kadarius Toney would be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, listen, I've heard a lot of, again, I've never really seen the true potential, but I've just heard such amazing things about him. So it's really, I think it's a really sad story. I don't know, can he turn it around this season? Could you ask for a better quarterback? Could you ask for a better head coach / offensive coordinator? I don't think so. You know, well, he's got 9 lives. What is he going to make of this one? We'll see what happens this season. What else you guys got?
We'll stay in the NFL and also kind of local. Odell Beckham Jr. has a new home. Click or don't click?
I'm clicking that. Well, of course we are. Everybody in New York is clicking that.
So the Miami Dolphins have agreed with OBJ on a 1-year deal worth $3 million up to $8.25 with incentives. He now joins Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And Anita, I got one question for you. Is this the best receiving core pound for pound in the NFL?
It's definitely the fastest. I think Odell has lost a step, right? Like so many injuries, the ACL, the ankle, you know, he wasn't what he used to be. I think sometimes we're very stagnant in our assessment of a player, an athlete, not realizing they're older, they've been through some things, you know, the injury history. But I think at the end of the day, I think this is a really good choice for Odell. A few things. I think Odell needs to live in a city like Miami, like New York, like LA. Odell is a player that has to be happy in life to perform well on the football field and be happy in football. So I think Miami will suit him. So there's that. I think he's going to be playing for a coach that is polar opposite than John Harbaugh, which I find very interesting. I think the coach will suit him. And, you know, playing in a system where you're not going to be the number one targeted wide receiver for the defense because you have to shadow Tyreek Hill. You know, you got immense respect for Waddle. So it's really going to open up things for Odell Beckham Jr. So I think this is a really good situation for him. I think this is a really good spot for him. Agree or disagree?
He's going to be a thorn in the Jets' side. That's all I know. Twice a year, it's going to be a problem guarding him, probably in one-on-one coverage, because you're not leaving Tyreek Hill single covered. You just can't do it.
No, and a lot of times, you know, I don't think Waddle gets the respect that he deserves, you know, because Tyreek Hill is on that roster. You know what I mean? So there's that. Is that it? One more, or are we good? Is this what's trending?
I'll leave it up to you. How about this? I'll just give you the headline, and you let me know if you want to click on this. The Bills announced that Chase Claypool will wear the number 14 that was worn by Stephon Diggs.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm clicking that.
Okay. How much worse will the offense for the Bills be next season now that they have Chase Claypool among their ranks?
You know, that's another player like Kadarius Toney where I've got some big question marks, right? Like, you know, early on when he was in Pittsburgh, wasn't there like six or seven straight games his rookie year that he just scored a touchdown every game, right? And we're like, oh, this guy's going to be like a touchdown machine. He's amazing. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, wah, 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 where'd that go? And then no longer with the Steelers, and now is on his third team. I don't know. The talent's there. We saw it, and we saw it early on, like I said, in his career in Pittsburgh. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But the Buffalo Bills, boy, I'll tell you, offense, defense, depleted. Fire sale. This is the Jets' year. This is the Jets' year. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, which, by the way, Rich Cimini has a great column out right now with Robert Saleh and Robert Saleh's comments that when camp opens up, it's full go for Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, this is the Jets' year. They should win this division. The Jets should win this division. The Bills have to be taking a step back. Have to. Based on the players that they had to lose this season because of bad cap management. And I'm not sold on Tua in the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys could not beat teams above 500 last year. So until that narrative can change, this coming season has to be the Jets season. Again, barring Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. All right, guys, good job. This is what's trending at 2:30 this afternoon on this Saturday.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
But now we've got Mark DiLorenzo joining us from Giddy Up, baby. Mark, how you doing?
Anita, Merry Christmas. Happy Kentucky Derby Day. Giddy Up, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited for the race. As soon as I get off the show, I'm driving up to Stamford, Connecticut, because I got a big pickleball match. Amani Toomer and I are taking on Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg tomorrow. So I'm going up there. I want to be up there, get a good night's sleep, wake up. I'm doing my show from Pickleball America. So I am heading up there. I'm going to be watching the Kentucky Derby, some local watering hole up there in Stamford, Connecticut. So I need to make sure that I get all my bets in before I leave this afternoon. So
You need to enjoy one or two mint juleps, the featured drink of the Kentucky Derby, put your feet back and print money. Because we have the winner of the Kentucky Derby. I don't like a horse in this year's Kentucky Derby. I love a horse, so I'm very fired up and ready to go.
Okay, so let's start first and foremost. Fierceness, the 17 horse is favored 5-2. Now it's 7-2. Just to play it, you're not going to get value just to say that horse is going to win. But tell us all the reasons why you feel this horse is favored. What makes this horse so special?
So there's a list of things, but to keep it short and brief, Fierceness is
by far the best three-year-old in the class this year. I saw Fierceness break his maiden at Saratoga when he walked into the paddock, and I took a look at him and I said, whoa, this horse is likely to win the Kentucky Derby. It only won by about 12 or 13 lengths that day, almost broke a track record. It then followed that up and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So this horse is known. It was the two-year-old champion, and it's the best three-year-old out there. But it ran a couple months ago in the Holy Bull, and it didn't run great. And everyone was like, all right, maybe this horse isn't as good now as a three-year-old, because in the Kentucky Derby, you can only be a three-year-old. But the farrier came in, put some new shoes on the horse. So he's got his new Air Jordans on. They corrected a little bit of an issue, and you know, got through the grapevine. I heard about this information. We played this horse and betted in the Florida Derby. The horse ended up winning by about, I don't know, 15 lengths. And it was one of the most impressive performances that I can remember, pretty much dating back to Justify. I haven't been this confident in a Kentucky Derby horse since Justify. I think Fierceness has a chance at winning the Triple Crown. I think the horse is going, we're going to get 3-1 today. I think that this is by far the best horse. So how you know how I like to play this game, I'm not going to give you three, four, five, six horses that might win, maybe win. I like one horse. I play it on top, and I bet it's a win. It's on top in exactas, trifectas, supers, and we play the pick five, which is about to start in about 15 minutes, and I'm only going to use one horse, and that's going to be number 17, Fierceness.
So take us to the window. I always like to use that phrase. You've got a lot of people listening to the show right now. You know, maybe they don't ever go to the track, but hey, you know, gambling now more legalized, more accessible for a lot of people. Maybe they dabble in the Triple Crown, starting with the Kentucky Derby. So in layman's terms, hold our hand, take us to the window, and how would you wager, the Kentucky Derby this year?
Yeah, fair question. So this is how I would play it. In layman's terms, I'm trying to create value by, so how about this? When you're playing in when you're betting football and you're in parlay and there's one prop bet that you really, really like more than all of the other prop bets, you might always use that prop bet with other part legs in the parlay. And you're trying to create value by just using that one and using that as your solid leg, your stone cold leg, where this is what you're most confident in, where you feel you're getting the most value. So I like to bet Fierceness to win. So to put up $100, you're going to get back $300. I think that that's fair value in a race like this. What I then like to try to do, which is something a lot of people don't do, is that they then try to put who's going to run second, third, or fourth in the Kentucky Derby. They're trying to find the second or third or fourth best horse in the race. I find that that's wrong, because usually the second, third, or fourth best horse in the race might try to do something a little bit more drastic. I'm looking for horses that want to run the distance and want to go this far, that are improving, that are going to be big prices, that I can put in the second place hole and the third place hole and the fourth place hole betting vertical wagers such as exactas, trifectas, superfectas. Those horses for me underneath Fierceness. So I bet Fierceness to win at plus 300. And then I'm trying to put Fierceness on top in my parlay / exacta trifecta. I'm trying to get plus 20,000, plus 10,000 with horses like number 15, Domestic Product, who's a Chad Brown-trained horse, who is a stayer, who wants to go the distance, who's getting bigger, better, and stronger. Horse like number 19, Resilience, for Bill Mott, added blinkers last time. Horse wants to run all day. Horses like number 3, Mystic Dan. These horses, I think, that are a cut below Fierceness, so I want to use Fierceness on top in vertical bets such as exactas, trifectas, and superfectas, and try to get plus 10,000, plus 1,000, maybe turn a dollar trifecta into a $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 by just a dollar bet. So those are kind of the horses that I'm going to key underneath, is number 15, Domestic Product, number 19, Resilience, number 3, Mystic Dan.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Great stuff. Mark, always do appreciate you feeding us the winners.
Who did Dan like? Because I always want to know. I miss Dan. I always like to hear his opinion. It's a strong opinion, but sometimes once in a while, I give it the old R and make sure I won't use that horse.
So pretty much Dan's analysis is that the way that the races are unfolding here is that this is not a track right now for closers. For whatever reason, speed is winning. So pretty much the 10 horse, T.O. Password, the other Japanese horse, 48-1. He's like put some coin on this. He feels that this horse could possibly pull the upset, especially at 48-1, just because of the way that the track has been racing as of late, and closers are not winning. That's really the crux of his analysis.
Right. And that's a good crux. I know Dan is a long time. He knows what he's doing. My issue with that is that there are three speed horses in the race. Number one, Dornock, T.O. Speed, and also number 12. Those three are going to battle. And you know who's going to sit right behind them in the most perfect spot in the entire racetrack, close to the front, because you want to be close to the front? That's going to be Fierceness. And he's going to roll right by and possibly win. He'll win the Kentucky Derby, possibly win the Triple Crown, I'm hoping.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Could one wager that right now that Fierceness could win the Triple Crown? Is that out there anywhere?
Yeah, I think there probably is a bet like that on DraftKings or FanDuel. I know that there's different accounts where you could probably bet on the racetrack using the tote system. You can't, but I'm sure there's a wager out there. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine before, and he saw 18-20-1 on Fierceness to win the Triple Crown. And, you know me, I put a few bucks on that.
There you go. Mark, you rock. Why don't you let the fans know where they can find you, how they can find you, other picks, other plays before we let you go.
Yeah, always appreciate you having me on, especially on a busy day. Kentucky Derby Day, giddyupbets.com. Been doing it about 7-8 years now. We're up to about 5,000 subscribers. I put out research and analysis, pick four, pick five grids. I chart all the trips, notes. Got a team of guys that are helping me now, and we are trying to do our best in the New York races, Kentucky races, Preakness in a couple of weeks, and then the season that I saw you at last year. You know what I look forward to and point to and is my 2-month holiday is Saratoga, July and August. Can't wait to be there. Can't wait to go doing what I love, watching thoroughbred horse racing. And today's one of the biggest days of them all. So just excited. And I hope we print money, as I like to say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Because right now I think he's a hack.
Really? Oh, yeah. No. Well, because he's rooting for the opposition.
Yeah. Hack-a-doodle-doo is what he is, and I don't like it.
I think I'm just speaking the truth here, Rick.
No, see, you don't know the truth. Because you wait till you see what happens on May the 5th, okay? You'll be singing a whole different tune, and then you're going to regret your words. Because guess what? Now, when RJ's off, maybe there's a different person in the seat.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's right. Maybe we request someone else.
Listen, all I'm saying is if you prove me wrong, I will sing your praises.
See,
I will take back everything I say.
It's not even that you think they're going to win. That's your opinion. I think you're wrong, but that's your opinion. It's the fact you're rooting for them to win.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So what is that about?
Listen, I root for who I think is going to win in this matchup.
So that's all you do? Because, so you're that kind of a fan?
Listen, no. Here's the thing.
I mean, you'd have rooted for 1980 Russia. Right?
Okay, well, that's...
I mean, the Herbert speech, you'd be like, well, I think Russia's going to win. So, I mean, Tretiak's just a better goaltender, so I'll root for them. Come on, Bauer!
Okay, you're taking that too far. Listen,
no, I'm not.
I respect all of you guys equally. So, in this matchup, I'm going to be rooting for who I think will win here. Pure
right.
and simple.
Well,
that's
listen,
it.
You planted your flag, okay? So just remember that. Remember that.
Now, if we win, I don't want any, like, revision as well. I was really hoping you guys wouldn't. No, you go down with that ship.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Poor Tom.
What do you think was going to happen,
Rick,
if
Rick
he goes
Dave
on that show and say that?
And then threatening him where they'll request another producer for their show? What is that? How unprofessional of them. Unbelievable. Like, if you guys were to say, hey, Anita, Rick, we think Rick is the best athlete here at the station, you know, we think that Rick and Dave are going to beat you. I'm not going to say like, oh, that's it. I'm, you know, not going to have you produce my show anymore. I'm going to tell John, I don't want you on my show anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be like, you know what? It's more fuel to my fire. Okay. I'll be like, okay. All right. We'll see. See you there. See you there, Joseph. See, that's what I would do. Poor Tom. Tom works so hard. He's a good guy. threatening his job. That's horrible. Shame on them. See, now that clip, they sound like Rick, you know what? You know what's interesting? I feel like Rick's got, don't you guys, do you feel like Rick's got something under his sleeve?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you, like, knowing what a competitor, you think Rick has had, like, 3 months of, like, lessons and has practiced?
No, that's way too much credit for him. 3 months? No, not even close.
You don't think so?
No.
So, Joe, what do you think he has under his sleeve? What, like, you're right? Like, I feel like we're going to be surprised by something.
Probably just tattoos.
We know he's got a lot of those. I don't know. I'm confident. Listen, at the end of the, here's the thing. At the end of the, one of two things is going to happen. And that is either Imani and I are just going to destroy them, where they're going to get pickled, and it's going to be an absolute disaster for them. And they're going to want to stop playing after two games. They're not going to want to go five. Or it's going to be competitive. And that's what I'm hoping. Believe it or not, that's what I'm hoping for. You know? I mean, yeah, it's fun to trash talk and, you know, be the dominant team. But at the end of the day, I don't want that. I would love nothing more than a competitive game with Rick and Dave. Where it goes.
Oh my goodness! Really, after all this time, that's what you want? Just a competitive game? You know, this actually kind of bugs me now. The lack of trash talk, the lack of smack talk. Now, a competitive game is going to be competitive.
I'm just saying. I would enjoy that more. You know, I enjoy the game. I enjoy playing the game. Will it be fun? Like, if we totally destroy them? Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be funny. And it'll be on, you know, I'm sure our PR department is going to be out there. We're going to have all the, you know, it's going to be on film and all the things. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm an athlete. I like competing. I would love for it to be a competitive match. I really would, Harvey.
If the four of you don't pull a muscle each, I'll be red hot at every single one of you. If the four of you don't give it everything and pull a muscle, I'll be upset.
How long have we been working? What do you mean, give it? How long have you known me now?
I'm just saying.
You don't think I'm driving up there? I'm leaving my apartment. I am not sleeping in my own bed. I am not eating my own porridge. I am leaving my dogs with a friend tonight so that I can have a nice night's rest in Stamford, Connecticut, so I can be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow, Harvey. That's how 110% I am in, my friend.
Look, you're making the sacrifice, which is all good, but I'm just saying, like, you went from pickling them five times to sweeping them to now it's just a competitive game.
I do believe that we're going to pickle them off the court. I do believe that's what's going to happen. But what I'm saying is I would enjoy and I would like a competitive game. At the end of the day, it's going to be fun. Joe, I will see you up there tomorrow morning. Excited that you're going to be there. Harvey, you and Tom are going to be producing the show tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. So I will talk to you then. For all the folks out there, again, tomorrow weather conditions, not good. No bueno. So what do you want to do? You want to get in your car and you want to drive up to Stamford, Connecticut, and you want to watch these matches. We're going to have a ton of fun up there. It's going to be Cinco de Mayo. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a party. Hence why it's called Dinko de Mayo, which I think is really, really cute. I want to thank all our guests today. Tommy Beer, Talking Knicks, Dan Torgeman, and Mark DiLorenzo, Talking, getting you ready for the Kentucky Derby. Again, post time close to 7 o'clock. Be ready for that. And, of course, Joe Wiz. And our producers, Joe and Harvey, who have been fantastic today. And thank you for all the calls. I will be back with you again bright and early tomorrow morning from Pickleball America. I will talk to you then right here on 98.7 ESPN.